I still think about it now. Brian Robson, Mark Hughes, Jim Leighton, Gary Walsh was there, Dennis Irwin. Who else was there? Mark Robbins was there as well.
Because that was kind of the last of the old school, wasn't it, for Man United,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Viv Anderson was there. I did briefly see Paul McGrath as well.
Right.
Yeah, Big Paul. Oof. Gary Pallister, Steve Bruce. You know, those kind of players were seen every day. I think I took it for granted for a period of time. But seeing them every morning, it was just a blessing. I look back and think, you know what? Not a lot of people got that privilege every day. Cranky self, decided to climb up the damn drain pipe, and as I got just into the window, the landlady had heard some kerfuffling. She came across from her side to ours, opened the bedroom door because one of the lads opened the window. He says, right, you know. I went, oh, crap. And I went, okay, just went to bed. But I got an arse tearing for that, trust me. Well, put it this way, United love to play me anywhere across the back. You know, so trying to get ahead of Gaz Neville. That was a chore. John O'Kane, Chris Casper, Georgie Switzer. So they were your main four. So those lads were playing extremely well. And they're very good players, as you well know. So trying to get ahead of them and involve them, it was hard work. You know, so if I can fight my way into the squad, then I just need a little bit more time and I just didn't get that time. Peter Reid was there, obviously, because he was the manager of City at the time. And there was a rumour to saying that I may be going over to City to have a little trial. But that didn't happen. I don't know if they were talking amongst themselves, Sir Alex and himself, but it got relayed back to me and I thought, oh.
So you're sitting there then waiting
I'm thinking, oh, chances here. But didn't happen. Poor Robbie Savage, he played for all of the games apart from the final at Old Trafford because they brought Giggsy back in for the one game. Yeah.
Were you at that infamous Lee Sharp house party as well?
Mm-hmm. I certainly was. Me and a couple of others. And it wasn't pretty, but we got away with murder. Me and a couple of other lads that were there. I won't mention their names.
But he'll probably still have them this day if he find out if it was people that he hadn't bollocked by then. He's still going to have them. Yeah.
Yeah, of course he would. He'd say, You owe me.
Yeah, yeah.
Get them lacks in. But yeah, there was me and two other lads. And fortunately, we were upstairs. Yeah. I think what I heard from Sir Alex himself, he says his plan was to have, obviously, the six lads, Bex, Giggs, and all the rest of them, Neville brothers and Scholesy and Butty. Butty's still there now. To have a major involvement within the club. To hold that structure, because if you think about it from our time to right now, it's completely changed. The desire, the ethic, the heart and mindset is completely gone. It's a shame because that foundation achieved so much. And then obviously you can see when it stopped. You can see how it stopped. Literally just went brick wall, stop. Everything's gone. You know, we're scratching up. You know, a UEFA Cup, we're scratching at FA Cup. Back in the day, we weren't scratching it. We were there. Every year, we were there. The gaffer called me into his office and he says, you know, look.
Sir Alex actually does Sir it Alex quite bad.
Yeah. We went down to Old Trafford. And he says, listen, I'm sorry to say, but we're going to have to let you go. I had a bit of an inkling because, you know, when you played in certain games, and you're not involved in certain games, you know, not even in the fringes, not involved, you're not travelling, you're not doing, you're like, you know something's not right. So I knew it was coming, so it wasn't so hard, but I just said, okay.
Did you put up a bit of a wide time, or it's just kind of, the way he tells you, you've got to be like.
Yeah, I just took it, and I just said, you know what, thank you. And I didn't even think that straight, but I even asked for an autograph for a cousin of mine. I said, before I go, can I have an autograph before I go for my family member? He says, yeah, no problem.
Welcome to B2B, the Business Club podcast, made in Brum, speaking to unique people from Birmingham. Today, our guest is Lenny Taylor. Lenny, thank you ever so much for coming.
Morning, mate.
No worries. All right, Kev.
Sam.
Chris.
You are a Brummie.
Yes.
Who was in the class of 92.
Yes.
Famously. Would you like to give us a bit of a brief introduction to yourself and then we can start the chat?
Okay. Obviously, I'm Lenny Taylor, Birmingham bred and born. Lucky enough to get picked up by Man United and be part of the youth team, class of 92. Unfortunately, didn't make it, but such is life. There's a lot of people and a lot of players that didn't make things in their lives, so it's one of those. Back home in Brum, doing my thing, you know, caring for my family, doing what I can, smiling, you know, carrying on with life and just getting on with things.
Excellent. So from the start then, so how did your journey in football begin from initially, obviously, being scouted to YTS Forms? How did that journey start?
Wow. Let me have a think now. Well, I was playing for 3Cs in Chelmsley Wood, and there was a scout called Jeff Watson came along. He was scouting around Birmingham because obviously that was his territory, and he spotted the 3Cs and came to a couple of games, and he says, well, we like a few of your lads. Can we invite them to a trial match? I think it was down by Leicestershire side. And we all went down, had a trial, had half a game. The gaffer was there, which was very surprising.
Gaffer being Sir Alex?
Sir Alex himself was there.
Oh, wow, he was actually at the trial.
Yeah, we didn't know until after, but he was there. And he decided to pick a few of us out of the team. And he says, like that young fella, let's give him a trial. And it started from there, went up to United for the trial. And just went on from there, signed schoolboy forms. And then he says, right, we want to offer you YTS. And that was it, just went on from there.
Wow. How did you get the news? Was it an old school, like a phone call? And
yeah, phone call and letter. It was contacting my club, 3Cs.
Yeah.
And then obviously they related to me. And then to my mum and myself, a letter from himself, the gaffer, Sir Alex. And that was it. It was a case of, right, let's get on with this and let's give it a go. So I went up there, took my trial. It's fine.
Because the 3Cs back in the day were just frightening with that as a club. I mean, yeah. I think Arden Forest are quite close to them now in regards to Birmingham setup and stuff, but the 3Cs, even when we were younger, it's as a club, it was good.
Yeah,
you wanted to play for the Cs, didn't you?
Oh yeah, they're the major setup. Even the year above us and below us, they're a great structure.
Yeah.
But that's how it sort of started, and they're still going strong there.
Mm.
You know, so good on them.
Yeah. So, moving forward, then. How did it go? Was you nervous when you got the trials? Do you remember any overriding feelings of? Was you confident?
See, I've been told how good a player you were back in the day. I've heard that multiple.
Not that good. I didn't make it.
So I've heard that.
I was a decent player. Put it this way, there were lots of players around me that were just as good. Some of them even better. But you know, bit of luck, right time, right place. But yeah, we had a trial game, and John O'Kane was there, and there was a group of lads from different areas from around the country, and we just got thrown into one team. And I thought, I'm the only one here by myself. I didn't know anyone. Looked around the room, got my kit on, and I thought, okay, just play your game and play my game. But we're at the cliff, and they've got the famous cliff training ground, and they've got that big Perpex glass that stretches. And Eric Harrison and the gaffer and some of the others were there as well, and played half a game. I just did what I did, and he says, right, we're definitely having him.
Do you remember playing well, or do you think you played well, or do you think you...
I think I did pretty well because obviously they took me on.
Yeah.
So I, you know, at that time I didn't have any fear. I just did what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Defend.
What age is this?
14. 14 going 15. So yeah.
And fearless.
I didn't have any thoughts. There was nothing that I had to worry about. It was just go out and play. You know, I've been trained from a little kid how to defend, what to do, where to be, read the game, and that's what I did.
So we obviously nowadays you've got stay-at-home fullbacks and marauding full standing fullback now is a winger as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how was your game, or how were you expected to play back then as a right back?
Get forward, support, help. Be where you need to be. Be the spare man. You know, make sure you're in a position where you can help or help yourself. And I didn't have any problems, to be truthful. I mean, at United they played me all across the back, because believe it or not, I was a central defender, stroke sweeper.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day. But because of my height, they were a bit worried. But they didn't have any problems. At one point, I got a compliment. Oh, reminds me of Paul Parker.
Yeah.
I can't get a bigger compliment than that.
Definitely took that one, yeah.
Oh, I took it with a smile on my face and went, oh, yes, thank you. But I just got on with my game after that.
Mm.
Didn't think nothing of it. But, yeah.
We see it now with Martinez and stuff, don't you? And players like that, it doesn't make no difference, does it? As long as you've got the...
The ability,
yeah. You can kind of play anywhere, especially at a certain level. Do you know what I mean? You can play where you want to play, can't you?
It is, that's right. Because I mean, I love playing a centre half. I love playing against the bigger fellas. I love the I love the wrestling, the tussling, and getting the beating of them. I just loved it.
Yeah.
You know, like we get it underneath them, and you're a big lad, so what?
So that's a lost position now as well, isn't it? In the modern game, sweeper.
Yeah.
Back in like a Maldini, back in the day, sweeper was an important position, wasn't it?
Mm.
But now it's everyone needs to be further up, don't they? Everything now is high pressed. The game, yeah.
It's evolved.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
As all things, you've got to move with times. You've got to move with how things are going. It's a lot more fast paced. It's a lot more athletic, you know. But I still like a little bit of the old school stuff, and it does work. Trust me, it does work. Some of the old school stuff, because some of the new stuff, it just doesn't work. Look at United. Don't want to play three at the back. I haven't got the players to do it. I don't think. Don't get me wrong. They're great players, but the way that they need to play, like City do at the back, two different sets of players and teams and standards at the minute. So, but I appreciate how it's going.
Mm.
But I still like. Sometimes you've got to have the old school setup just to get through, because not every game is going to be a pretty fast-paced game. It's going to be ugly, brutal, and you do whatever it takes to win.
Mm.
That's what it's all about, getting those wins.
Are you a fan of this playing out from the back? Would you be comfortable doing that?
I wouldn't mind it, but we didn't, you know, get taught that. We weren't really, don't pass across that 18-yard box. Oh,
well, that was the first rule of never pass across
the
box.
Never across the 18, never. Mm. We did have, you got a right rollicking.
Mm.
But it was different, you know, how things have moved on from then till now.
Yeah.
But some of it, sometimes I don't like it. There are times I'm watching games, I'm like, don't do it. And it's like, oh, you just cost them the game.
Well, you get a lot of the lower teams, not lower teams, but a lot of the teams who have got big striking fullback, centre-backs and fullbacks, similar to where we tried to play it a couple of seasons ago. And you concede more than you scored from your own goal kicks, don't you? And it's like,
silly
just this big ball up sometimes. It's, we kind of lost that to a certain extent. You just need that big hump and get it out there and playing there off.
Sometimes you just got to give it a good well in, just go, bump, off you go.
Playing some space, isn't you?
That was Allardyce's thing, wasn't it? It's not a long ball, it's playing into an area. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with putting it into an area that isn't.
You can regroup, get yourself in order. Yeah. You know, what's all this fancy stuff sometimes in the wrong place? You're playing in corner flag in your own half. You know, just up the line, get out the way, get yourself up.
Mm.
Give yourself a breather. Seconds make a lot of difference in games, as you know.
Yeah. Who were the players you bonded with when you got there and got involved in the mix? How did it work out?
Yeah, I went up, left school. Wasn't even 16 yet.
No.
Not even. I had a 16th birthday up there in Manchester. I went straight up in just before the holidays, the pre-season, which was till June. We went up into June and went straight up there, and I went into Diggs. There was quite a lot of us in that Diggs back, basically. There was, in our room, Robbie Savage was there for a while, Colin Telford, myself. You had Jules Majerana, Giuliano Majerana, he was there. Andy Bramwell, Roger Salis.
This isn't in the one Diggs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you also had Jonathan Stanger, goalkeeper, and Colin McKee. He was part of the setup, and he went to Kilmarnock in the end. But yeah, I tell you what, I got on well. I didn't get on with anyone at the time because I didn't know anyone, but it was a wake-up call, trust me. You know, coming all the way from home, you know, 85 miles up the road with a bunch of lads that you don't really even know, sharing a room. It wasn't a great experience. 15,
16 as well, when it's all a bit, there's a lot going on.
It was a lot. It made me grow up a lot quicker than normal. But that's part and parcel of, you know, some people's lives. Some people grow up quicker than others. And it didn't open my eyes a little bit. It definitely opened my eyes. So, it was an experience. I still keep in contact with Colin. He's back home in Northern Ireland now. And I still keep in contact with quite a few of the lads, to be truthful. But yeah, it was a process to get used to. Trust me, it was a process.
So who was in charge at that time? Then that's a big group of teenagers, isn't it? Who was there a couple?
We had a landlady that was there. Obviously, it was two houses into one, and she lived on one side, and we had the rest of us in the other because it was a big house. So yeah, we got on, and she just left us to our own devices. Obviously, if we got a bit rowdy, there was a shut up, keep it down, which we got that every so often. But apart from that, we just got on. Got out of Diggs, straight down to training, down to the cliff, which was about not even a 5-minute walk. got our kit, got ourselves in order, training for the day, that's it.
So what were you doing for the rest of the day then? Obviously, you live close by, so you try and you go back. What are you doing? What are you doing all day then?
Well, we didn't get off early like the first team and some of the reserves, so we had jobs to do. You know, bibs, balls, cleaning down the place, making sure the place is tidy and left respectable. And when we left about 3 o'clock, if we got off early about that time, we'd go back to the digs or we'd just go around town, go into Manchester town centre, probably later on in the evening, catch a movie or just had a laugh and joke as lads do in the digs. But we won't speak about that.
Leave that there.
Yeah.
I think we've lost that now with modern players, haven't we? I don't think they do.
No.
Not knowing the insides and outs of it, I don't think they do the whole cleaning down and the whole cleaning boots and stuff is a bit of a lost.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still doing it.
No, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
You hear about...
I think some of the wages, some of the academy kids and the youth team players are on and some of the bigger clubs now.
Really?
I don't think
I'd imagine something. It's something that's probably someone else does. There's that art of losing it to a certain extent, wasn't there?
The more focus on getting them trained and prepped and ready instead of the other side of cleaning boots and mundane things. But I think that's still part of the
who were the players then that you seen and you was helping clean up and the play? Well, who was there then, like the senior players that you were like, whoa.
Yeah, I still think about it now. Brian Robson, Mark Hughes, Jim Layton, Gary Walsh was there, Dennis Irwin. Who else was there? Mark Robbins was there as well.
Because that was kind of the last of the old school, wasn't it, for Man United, wasn't it?
Viv Anderson was there.
Yeah.
I did briefly see Paul McGrath as well.
Right.
Yeah, big Paul. Oof. Gary Pallister, Steve Bruce. You know, those kind of players were seen every day. I think I took it for granted for a period of time, but seeing them every morning, it was just a blessing. I look back and think, you know what? Not a lot of people got that privilege every day. You know, home games as well. We had to go to the home games and see them there. We had to prepare their stuff as well sometimes, as in their boots, to make sure after the games. Every so often we'd have a rotation where we'd clean their boots after the games, and we did the same at the training grounds. But seeing them every day.
Was there anyone that give the young lads a bit of a hard time?
No. To be fair, right? Mickey Phelan was there as well. Mickey Phelan and Incy, Danny Wallace, and they were great. The whole first team setup was great. They have time for us. We did have a laugh with Pally and Incy quite a lot, though. Oh yeah. We had some fun.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 15, 16, you could be winding a few people up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. You know, we copped it a few times, but nothing in the malice way. It was all fun. It was all laughy and laughing and joking and comedy and stuff. But I tell you what, I do look back and I do smile and chuckle to myself. And I'm thinking, am I going mad? My other half is looking at me. What's wrong with him? I just chuckle inside. And when I speak to Bills as well, we have a bit of a chin wag, and there's some of the stuff we laugh about. And I thought, no, but there's only certain scenarios what I can share, because I don't think a lot of people understand what we've been through and how he works. But like yourself and Bills and some of the other lads, you understand, so it's all good. But seeing him was just, it was a joy
and an inspiration to be there.
I mean, as I said, I might have taken it for granted seeing it, but if I would have had a different mindset, I would have changed certain things about myself to say, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. You know.
That's a hard thing to kind of
kind
of process at that age, isn't it?
Yeah.
And especially being away from home. How did your family get on with you being away? And
it was just me and my mum at home at the time. She wasn't very fearful, because I could get on with people and understand how to conduct myself. Not all the time though, but that's another subject. But she was fine with that. She was fine. She was, as long as you're doing what you need to do, that's fine. She just left me, let me get on with it. We were in task to come home every 6 weeks, but because Sharpie was there as well, he lived in Brum. Damn, everyone used to come back a little bit early. He used to drop us back and pick us back up at the rotunda in town. God bless him for that. But it was nice to come home. But as I got a little bit older there, I felt like that was home, because that's where I grew up. In a short space of time, from a young kid to a young man very quickly. And I seen that place as home for a while. And I still got a part of it as my home, Manchester. So you know, it was a process, and, you know, I'm back home now, so it's all good.
Mm. You touched upon Sharpie there.
Yes, Mr. Sharpie.
Yeah. I've seen a few podcasts with him, and he's obviously notorious. He's a bit of a bit of a lad. Is he still that age? Is he just, and what about the lads? Who are the characters there?
Well, you know what? No, he was a laugh and a joke. We all got on well. I'd say we're all a great bunch of lads or grown men that just got on with one another. There were times when we had a few, you know, ups and downs, but that's part of football and life. But we just got on with things, you know. We had a few laughs here and there, but I said, that'll be for another conversation.
Yeah, the no notorious parties of Sharpies and all that we can't.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Such a nut for another day.
Yeah. Moving on. What's the band? Pub later. Yeah.
But at that time, obviously, the stories have come out since, isn't it, of how Sir Alex and his staff kept a close leash on the young lads.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of instances where you had your collar fart, wasn't there? One involved a drain pipe.
Yeah. The notorious drain pipe. Yeah. I know it's going to come out. It will come out. Right. We went up to town, Manchester Town Centre, and we all had a few too many. We shouldn't have done, but we did. And it was about 2-3 in the morning when I got back to the digs. Didn't have a key. I thought, someone's bound to be up. Knocking the door. No one was answering. By this time, I'm freezing my backside off. I'm thinking, So I'm thinking, it's only a few metres up that drain pipe to my bedroom window. There's someone in, I know that much. So, cranky self, decided to climb up the damn drain pipe. And as I got just into the window, the landlady had heard some kerfuffling. She came across from her side to ours, opened the bedroom door because one of the lads opened the window. He says, right, you know. I went, oh, crap. And I went, okay, just went to bed. But I got an arse tearing for that, trust me.
Wow.
But even the gaffer, when we went up for Eric Harrison's and Nobby Stiles's, it was like a presentation for them. He said to me, he says, who was it now who was trying to climb up the drain pipe? And I thought, oh, crap. And I was standing next to him and I went, yeah. I looked at him, he looked at me. He knew it was me and I went, he has me, gaffer. And he started to say, oh, yes. And we had a right good chuckle about it. And it was good for him to laugh at the time.
Yeah.
Which was great. And he remembered it. So, you know, bonus.
Yeah. Because were you at that infamous Lee Sharp house party as well?
Mm-hmm. I certainly was. Me and a couple of others. And it wasn't pretty, but we got away with murder. Me and a couple of other lads that were there. I won't mention their names.
But he'll probably still have them this day if he find out if it was people that he hadn't bollocked by then. He's still going to have them. Yeah.
Yeah, of course he would. He'd say, you owe me.
Yeah.
Get them lax in. But yeah, there was me and two other lads. And fortunately, we were upstairs. The gaffer came in and we could hear his voice and we all went, oh, crap. And he just let off at Sharpie because Giggs was there as well. He let off at them to more like, oh, crap. You know when he starts. The hairdryer for real. So we were upstairs and he let off and he says, you. You could tell him, get out that place. And he had to go at them too. He says, is there anyone else upstairs? He says, what's going on? Anyone else in the house? And we're like, a couple of us went into the wardrobe and I hid behind the door and I thought, please, for the love of God, don't come up the stairs because we're all going to get our asses kicked because we're apprentices. We shouldn't be out at all anyway. We're supposed to be in our digs. So he didn't come up the stairs and I thought, right, get a taxi home. As soon as he left, like, get a taxi home quick. So we got a taxi straight in the digs and went to him, saying nothing. The next couple of days, the atmosphere wasn't very pretty.
Really?
Yeah. Especially for Mr. Sharp and Giggsy.
It's been notoriously documented, hasn't it, that he wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few of the things that I could add to it, but I thought, no, not doing it. Just stay silent.
Stay dumb.
So on the football side then at that time, I know you spoke about Giggs being head and shoulders.
Oh.
So was it Giggs standout? So obviously, you can go through the list, can't you? And the players that played with... I've all got their skulls.
Yeah, I mean, what a great bunch of lads we had. I will say Giggsy, at the time when I was a schoolboy, he was the same age, but he was playing in the almost reserves. He was that good. he was just, he was this guy. We thought he was older, but he weren't. He was our age, but they were playing him above his age.
Yeah.
He was just frightening. Pace, skill, knowledge, awareness, joke. Absolute joke.
And left-footed, which is kind of...
Yeah, it's awkward to play against and train against, trust me.
So he had that pivoting wide running, didn't he, as well? Like, look at that Arsenal goal.
Oh, he's just unorthodox. Sometimes he's so unbalanced, but he's in balance. And it's like, where'd you go? What do you do? Because blink of an eye has gone that way. Mm. Or has gone that way. And if he pushes it past you, the ball, that's it. That's it. You better get a rocket pack to try and catch him.
Was it like that in... Did he used to train? So it was like that in training when you used to defend against him?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Do you ever think about...
Oh, trust me. We've been coming to a few times. Listen, we've come across a few moments and to be without blowing my own trumpet, there was a few times I was the only one that could keep up with him and defending against him. That's how confident and at the time I was that quick.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but he was so unorthodox to play against. But there's one moment, I said, I've got a claim to fame against Giggsy. And everyone says, what's that? I says, remember that little scar above his lip? I gave him that. Boot straight in the gob. It wasn't intentional, it was an accident. But now look back, I says, every time I look at that scar, Mr. Giggs, remember me.
Oh, I love that. So you touched someone like Nobby Styles and him being there at the time.
Oh.
Obviously, absolute.
No, as I said, I took it for granted.
I was going to say, did you realise the gravity of the people you were around? Not so much even the players that you were playing with, but the coaching staff.
Mm.
Obviously, Sir Alex, but Nobby Styles, a World Cup winner, was...
When he got brought into the fold, we just knew him as Nobby Styles, World Cup winner. But we didn't realise what was up here and what was in here that he could give us, because he gave us some of that. And looking back now, it's for granted. And I thought, you know what? You just don't understand at that age. But wow, what a privilege that we had a World Cup winner as part of our training core. And I'm like, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Because what are you learning in coaching? Like, was there anything that stood out that you took with you? Like, I didn't think of that like that. You know, change the way you think about your position or anything like that. Was there anything other than just the awe of won the World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, he gave us an understanding of how to be dedicated and to your craft and nail your craft. You know, do the basics extremely well. The rest will follow. He gave us that heart, just like Eric did and Sir Alex. He embedded from Sir Alex right down to all the coaching staff that all players have that heart and desire. When you put that shirt on and you cross that white line, focus, switch in. You know what you need to do. Every game is an FA Cup final day for you when you play those games. It doesn't matter if it's a B team, A team, reserve, first. Every game is an FA Cup and you've got to have that heart and desire. You could be having a mare that week or that game. You still fight. You know, we were told, if your ankle breaks, get up and bloody play. You're a broken ankle. We don't care. Get on with it. But we had that determination and that no fear, get involved.
Yeah.
You're a Manchester United player. Doesn't matter where you are, put that shirt on, that's it. And he gave us that. And as for coaching, I mean, they pointed out things that we didn't really think of at the time. We were just concentrating on get to next man, do this, do that. But they gave us something to open our minds to and gave us the structure, which was brilliant. I mean, don't get me wrong, back in my younger days at school, they had great coaches right up to them. But when it came to that standard of things, it all changed.
On his levels to it.
Yeah. I mean, when I was at the Vale, I was playing the pre-season, I went to Port Vale, and Mark Pedgick was the coach, great coach. And he changed part of my game as well. So that probably propelled me or helped me get recognised by the, because he kept improving, I kept going on and on and on, moving from one standard to another.
Evolving.
To another. Yeah. Great. You know, you can't ask any more than that.
Mm. So the cup run, and the actual win. What do you remember of that?
Well, to be honest, the first stages of the cup run, I wasn't involved, but I fought my way into the team of the latter part, which was the Tottenham game down at White Hart Lane. I got brought on for the last 2 or 3 minutes, and you know, Eric Harrison, God rest his soul, is gone now. He says after the game, he said, "I'm sorry to bring you on that late." And it still echoes in my mind. He apologised for bringing me on so late, but the funny thing is he brought me on for Ben Thornley. Ben Thornley was a winger. I went on it as a winger. So I was on there for a few minutes, so be it. So I did that well. That's through training that he got into the squad, because trust me, any one of our 22 players that were there could have been the first 11 plus subs, you know, part of the squad.
Yeah.
So I got in, and then we had Crystal Palace away again, and I got into the squad for that as well.
That's a nice little grind, isn't it? Nice proper grind.
Well, I'll give you a joke now. That Paul Parker thing came back up. I thought, here we go. I was obviously getting a warm-up with, I think it was Georgie Switzer or Andy Noon, and someone in the crowd says, you're too old to be playing Paul Parker. Get off. I mean, me and Noonan went, oh, George, went, hey, is he having a laugh? I thought, oh, I think it's the size and the stockiness. We were similar. And I thought, I'm not bloody Paul Parker, but thank you.
Yeah, so that.
Yeah. I was like, I was up there. Thanks for compliment. But yeah, but as I said, they won down at Selhurst Park, and the return leg was at Old Trafford. What an occasion. But unfortunately, I didn't get in, not even as a sub. Poor Robbie Savage, he played for all of the games apart from the final at Old Trafford, because they brought Giggsy back in for the one game. Yeah.
So that's all maybe a flying wing.
I think he was involved with around the first team squad at the time. I think he, did he play against Everton as for his debut, or was it after? No, it was before he had an Everton debut. He was 17, he came on and he scored against Everton at Old Trafford. I remember that. So he was always surrounding the first team. And then the final at Old Trafford.
They wanted to doubly make sure that...
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. We knew we were gonna win it, but just to put him on the spotlight and say, listen, if there's any wobbling, he's the man for the job.
Mm. What score?
It was 3-1, was it? 3-1 or 4-1, I think it was. But it was 6-2 overall.
Right.
As because it was two legs.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Done well, and I was in the changing rooms after. There's a little clip here and there, and you see me in the background going, you know, I was so chuffed. Even though I was a part of it, I was just so glad that I got part of it and I was involved with it.
And was that, did they kind of double that down with you? It is a squad game.
Oh, yeah.
And especially knowing how close in ability you all are to each other. Like, how hard was it for morale? Was everyone keeping their chins up, or?
It was hard.
Did it hit anyone hard?
It was hard inside. I mean, even for me, getting to the latter, I fought my way into the latter parts, but some of the players didn't even get that squad, you know, scenario, but we were still together, you know. I can't answer for everyone how they felt inside, but I was a bit gutted, but I thought, you know what? It is what it is. You've got to get on with it. You know, that's how it works sometimes. But Eric did say to me, he says, don't worry, you're going to get your medal. But I didn't, you know, play for the early, says, no, you've been involved from blah, blah, blah. You're part of the squad. You'll be getting the medal. And I've got it to this day.
You still got it?
I've still got it to this day.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think they say it's an equivalent to an FA Cup winner's medal, because it's FA Youth Cup. It's still on par, but it's just a junior level. And not a lot of people have got them. And I've still got mine.
So from then?
Yeah.
Firstly, who was it that you were trying to get in front of? Who played your position ahead of you?
Well, put it this way, United love to play me anywhere across the back. You know, so trying to get ahead of Gaz Neville, that was a chore.
Yeah.
John O'Kane, Chris Casper, Georgie Switzer. So they were your main four. So those lads were playing extremely well, and they're very good players, as you well know. So trying to get ahead of them and involved with them, it was hard work, you know. So if I can fight my way into the squad, then I just need a little bit more time, and I just didn't get that time.
Yeah.
I think, I wouldn't say I left it too late, but if I would have given another 6 months, a year, say a year contract after my YTS, I think I would have done a little bit more for myself, because my mindset would have been totally different.
Yeah.
At the start, my mindset wasn't quite right, because I didn't understand how things worked. And it was only the second year that it really, the penny dropped, and I thought, okay, this is how and what I need to do. And having that support as well was very, very important, because the other lads obviously predominantly were at home and had that family support, and they had that that support around the, their families. There's other people in that game as well. You know, Gaz Neville's dad, you know, he was involved in a lot of sport in that manner.
Neville.
Yep. Mm. So he had that mindset because he was in that world for a, probably day dot.
Yeah.
So he's giving it to his children.
Yeah.
But at home with me and mum, it was a different scenario.
Yeah, you've had to transition. You've had to move, literally create a new life.
Yeah.
These guys generally live in the area, were already amalgamated with the club. Mm. That's no small thing for a 15-year-old to get their head around that.
Yeah.
And then, so how did it then come about, or what was the scenario where you were let go? How did that play out?
That was horrible. You just knew. I mean, some of the players that they let go was like, wow, you're letting such and such go. He's going. But that wasn't just happening at United. It was happening across, you know, the entire football world. There were a lot of people in the English league that would be let go. But I knew it was coming. And I thought, if it happens, it happens. What can I do? I mean, I was gutted. I went home. I wasn't, you know, the most, you could put it, person to speak about certain things. My mind, you know, just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But I had a bit of a horrid time, to be truthful. The first 6 months, I was ugly. You know, mentally, it was ugly.
Because obviously, there's a big impetus now, isn't there? There's a big focus on clubs and welfare and aftercare now for release players, pathways into the game. Yeah. It's a big thing, isn't it? What was it like then? Was there anything in place at all? Nothing?
Nope.
PFI and stuff?
They were available, but I didn't contact them. No. I was that kind of distraught to a degree. I mean, this is probably the first time I'm talking about it, to be truthful. But mental, you know, health-wise, I didn't know what it was then, but it was really, I was always on a downer. Constantly on a downer, and it was ugly.
And I don't suppose anyone other than you and the lads that have been released can even understand, or no one can empathise with it, because no one can understand what you're going through, can they?
Not at all. And I didn't have that kind of connection at the time to speak to others to share that.
There was no internet. It's not what you write to someone on your phone. It was just a phone call
or get on a bus or a train and visit. But that wasn't applicable to me at the time.
What was that? Was you 17 then?
I was 18. Just turned 18 when I got... just before I was 18, yeah. Because I had one of those awkward birthdays where I could have done another YTS because of my age.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
Right.
And I'll lead on from there what happened elsewhere as well. But yeah, mental wise, it wasn't very pretty. You said there was no help. And if you did go seek help, you would have thought something's wrong.
Mm, yeah.
When really, no, it's nothing wrong. It's getting out and helping you. You know, I'm so glad that the academy players and people within that industry can now help others. And it's not someone to be frightened of anymore. Just get it open. Get it off your chest, get well. It happens now in the Premiership.
Mm. It's a big thing now, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
a big thing. Everyone gets that help.
But so from leaving, they just go, okay.
You know. How did they break that to you? Face to face, sit down.
Yeah. The gaffer called me into his office and he says, you know, look.
It's all right, actually, does Sir it Alex flash back?
Yeah, we went down to Old Trafford. And he says, listen. I'm sorry to say, but we're going to have to let you go. I had a bit of an inkling, because, you know, when you played in certain games and you're not involved in certain games, you know, not even in the fringes, not involved, you're not travelling, you're not doing, you're like, you know, something's not right. So I knew it was coming, so it wasn't so hard, but I just said,
Did you put up a bit of a wild time, or it's just kind of the way he tells you, you've got to be like...
I just took it and I just said, you know what, thank you. And I didn't even think that straight, but I even asked for an autograph for a cousin of mine. He says, before I go, can I have an autograph before I go for my family member? He says, yeah, no problem. And I look back and I think, you know what? How did you handle that scenario, kid? I said, what were you thinking? But I just thought, you know what's happened? Can I have the signature? I'll be off. He says, I can help you out. We'll try and find you a club. I'll be in contact. And I says, okay. And that was it, really.
Mm.
That was it.
Did that put you off football for a bit?
No, because I got a couple of games that he arranged for me to have, it wasn't so bad. I was thinking, right, I'll get somewhere. But obviously when things didn't work out, things got a bit, you know, up here, got deteriorated a little bit, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. But it didn't put me off. I just got on with as life as best you can.
Was it hard to kind of go from that, because I know from reading your other interviews, there was there a Man City trial you were expecting or you were anticipating that never came?
Yeah, no, there was. We had a Lancashire Youth Cup final at Old Trafford, which the players that didn't play in the Youth Cup, we all got put on the field. And even the second set of players or team, as you want to call it, was still a great bunch. We lost 1-0. But Peter Reid was there, obviously, because he was the manager of City at the time. And there was a rumour to say that I'm maybe going over to City to have a little trial. But that didn't happen. I don't know if they were talking amongst themselves, Sir Alex and himself, but he got relayed back to me and I thought, oh.
So you're sitting there then waiting
I'm thinking, oh, chances here, but didn't happen. Didn't happen. And then I got a call to go down to Port Vale. So I'm going back to the Vale now.
Yeah.
And it was a trial game. And there was a fair few players that I played against within the youth system that we're seeing. And some of my friends that I haven't seen from Brum, my district team and some of the local teams were there as well. And John Rudge was the manager at the time. And I thought, okay, you know, I'll give it my best shot. And without blowing my own trumpet, I played a damn good game. But... you know, I found out weeks later that he was looking for a striker. I'm thinking, why am I there if you're not looking
for... Oh, really?
Yeah, it was disappointing. I thought, okay. And then I got a call to get down to Walsall. And I thought, oh, okay. So I ended up at Walsall, went down to Bescot. I had a couple of weeks down there. Did well. I think the manager was Kenny Ibbies at the time. Mm. I can't remember the youth team coach that was with him or with us, but he says, yeah, we want to keep you on, but as a YTS. And I went, YTS? I says, I don't really want to know anything about YTS. I've done my 2 years. Mm. I want to progress. Maybe it was the right thing. Maybe it was the wrong thing. I don't know. But in my mind, I want to step up and get at least a 1 year pro.
Yeah. Professional contract.
Yeah. 1 year pro contract. That's all I was looking for. And that didn't happen. So I thought, okay. So I just went off on my travels, went back home, that was it. But because, I put it this way, with no disrespect to Mum was born and raised in Jamaica. They've got a different mindset to how you are in another country. So her main focus was in, are you safe? Are you okay? You got clothes on your back, roof over your head, and making sure you're okay. But she didn't understand anything about the sports side of things.
Yeah.
Not a dicky bird. All she knows is, I that bloody pain football, look at the marks all over your scars. I'm like, Mum, that's part and parcel. Why do you like it so much? I don't know.
No one knows.
But she didn't understand how to deal with me or cope with me in that kind of manner. So she was at a last cause, and I was in a worse last cause for a period of time, and I just went, Mike, stop this madness. I've got to try and break the mold. And it starts and resolves itself. I'll explain what went on from there.
Yeah. So we touched upon... there not being any kind of support network. So we were saying, weren't we, off camera, these days with the internet, everything is a click of a button, and these groups of players, these ex-players, there's all these kind of associated groups where you can find a club, find a skate, kind of do these types of things. So what do we do then when nothing comes to fruition? Like you said, with Walsall, you potentially could have gone with the YT. You didn't want to. You're ready to be a professional.
Yeah.
So what is the aftermath of that then? Does that kind of like that's closed off? Do you have to have a moment then in your head where, okay, this might not happen?
Most definitely. I just thought, you know what, this is it then. You know, it's not gonna happen. But a friend of mine got me some work at not too far around the corner actually, Metal Treatments. And I got him work there because I thought, you know what, I need work. I need an income, something, you know. I can't survive on fresh air. So I thought, right, you know, my friend says, I've got some work down here, blah, 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 some shift work. Will you be all right with it? I says, yeah, bring it on. And it just started from there, playing Sunday League football. Sorry, it was Saturday. I played for Highgate United for a while.
Good team.
Yeah. And then I ended up going to the Borough, Solihull Borough, where I was there for a while. And then things didn't work out there. I floated in and out their first team, but I was more with the reserves. And at that time, I was just playing because I like playing.
Yeah.
You know, I thought if I get in the first team, great. But I was just playing for fun at the time. I really was. And then working shifts as well. Now I thought, hang on a minute. Playing football with the way they want me to play, training during the week, Saturday playing, and then shift working, didn't really work well. So I'm picking up little niggles here and there, struggling to get into work, struggling to get to training, struggling to swap the shifts to get to training. I'm like, you know what, this isn't working very well. And then I think I was there for a few years because they had quite a lot of Blues ex-players at the Borough at the time. So that didn't happen. And I slowly jumped back into Sunday League football. And I was just playing for fun then because I thought, you know, this is it.
Well, then you've got the way up then if you still need to get paid. It's the whole way up that we have as just blokes trying to still plan a Sunday. You're like, right, if it starts affecting your work, it's starting affecting your income. And it's that becomes priority then. And
you're right, price.
Getting a whip round for a broken leg doesn't cover the
I felt that and I hear.
Or if you get knocked in hospital, well, I'm off work, I can't do anything. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? So I thought, you know what?
In the come end, on, lads, we're all in work tomorrow. Go easy on the challenges. Like.
Yeah, no. but yeah, your mindset, your priorities all change. Excuse me. So I thought, right, work is work. And I just focused on working and thought, playing Sundays when I play. And that was it. And then I think by the age of 28, I think I slowly just went, you know what? No, I can't be doing this no more. I didn't want to. But I just thought, you know what, I've got this going on. I thought, I've just got to get on with it, got to get on with things. And I just stopped playing. Some of the lads says, are you coming to play for the over 30s and play for the over 40s? I'm like, yeah, I'll come back. And I thought, I just couldn't get involved because the way I wanted to be, there's no way I could play and be the person that I want to be.
Play like that and not have the recovery time.
I'm 100% in or I'm not at all. Yeah. I don't want to be half-hearted, you know, 50%. And 20,
that's how you get injured as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought, I want to be in and I'm in. And it's not fair if someone's training every week, come once a week and then take his position. I thought, no, that's unfair. So I thought, that's it.
Mm. Done. So you said earlier, there was no one who really understood what you'd gone through at that time. Saying your mum, she was just, are you okay in these ways?
Mm. She had no idea what was going on. She could see something was wrong, but she didn't understand.
What was the protocol then when you went to Walsall and you was like, I don't want, did you have like someone with you? Or was you just... Oh, I don't want a YTS, I want a pro, and there's no one kind of saying to you...
No.
Let's haggle it, an agent per se.
Not at all.
No.
It was just me, myself, and I. Don't get me wrong, there was a few coaches that are still with us today that says, you know, maybe you should have took it or maybe you should have stayed at the fair, but if I would have known then that guidance, if I would have understood that there, but I suppose everyone's got their own lives and they don't know where I'm at or what I'm doing.
All ifs, buts, and maybes.
Yeah. It was basically me, just like you two, Kenny and the youth team coach and me sitting here. That was it.
Yeah.
And I thought if I did have someone in my corner, I would have said yes. I mean, I spoke to Raph Burke. He's at Bristol City now. And he's an academy coach for the youngsters. And we had a conversation, I think it was a couple of years back. And he says, I spoke to him about what happened and he says, why didn't you take it? You want me to take another year as YTS? He says, you could have took it, then worked your way through. Now, maybe when I look back, I said, maybe should I have taken it? But at the time it's like headstrong. This is what I want and this is what I need to do. And I know I'm capable of doing it, but it didn't work. Mm. But I should have took it. Maybe I should have took it. Mm. Maybe I should have gone back to the Vale. Maybe I should have never left Port Vale to go to United. Ifs, buts,
these are the kind of thing that can tie you in knots and leave you in knots, aren't they?
I'd rather not go down that path because I've...
Beat yourself up about it.
Oh, yeah. I thought, you know, should I have started lower? And then, but then if someone sees potential, then, you know, that's a positive thing. Can they improve on it further?
And what got you to where you got to was that same headstrong person that then made that decision, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think one of my old Sunday League football coaches spoke to Mum and said, I think he maybe should stay at the Vale for now. But Mum had said to him, he's made his mind up, he's going. And that's what I did. I made my mind up and I said, I'm off. Mm. I'm going.
But you don't know. You could have broke your leg there the next year and never got the opportunity, couldn't you?
Mm.
It's a funny thing. As you say, you just don't know what's around the corner. And I thought, you know what? Just go for it. And I just went for it and that was it.
Doing a bit of stalking on your Facebook and stuff. You get invited back quite a bit to United for bits and pieces?
The last one was the Nobby Styles and Eric Harrison award ceremony. And that's the last time I was up there. But I've always been told, if you want to come up, come up. And I'm like, I don't want to be asking for stuff. I don't want to be, can I? But a couple of people says, if they're offering you, just take it, just go up. But sometimes I don't find the time to go up. You know, home life's just hectic. Yeah. But I haven't been up there since then. And when I did go, I took my other half and the two children. And my daughter seen me on the pitch and went, oh, there's Daddy on the pitch. And I went, great, that's something for you to remember. But yeah, I haven't been up since. I thought, every time I get the moment, I thought, I'll go up and watch a game and catch up. And I thought, I can't do it this time. Oh God, I can't do it that time. But I'd love to go up. I said to my new friend, Griff, he's a Warsaw fan and all. He says, we'll go up next season. I went, yeah, let's just see.
Yeah, at the moment, it's like,
Yeah, oh, we're not going to talk about it. Well, we can.
That's how it's, it's at the moment. It seems to be, with what they're trying to do with the budgets, that the old guard, those that have ties to the past of the club, are kind of being nudged aside, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think what I heard from Sir Alex himself, he says his plan was to have, obviously, the six lads, Bex, Giggs and all the rest of them, Neville Brothers and Scholesy and Butty. Butty's still there now. To have a major involvement within the club to hold that structure. Because if you think about it from our time to right now, it's completely changed. The desire, the ethic, the heart and mindset is completely gone. It seems to be more about and fanciness. I'm like, sorry, United fans, but you know, and some of the players, they are great players, but
I think you'd get a game now, would
yeah. They need more of that.
The Man United way. That's what seems to have diminished, isn't it?
Stick the shirt on, cross the line, have that. You don't have to be fancying for it all the time, but you're a United player. Have that bit of desire for yourself, for the club and the fans. It seems to be a little bit down there, slippery, slidey slope at the minute. But
yeah, I'm sure there's a master plan, but relationship with the past. I think because Brian Robson, like touched on earlier, legend of the club. Those players are kind of being edged away from the jobs as ambassadors and things, aren't they, to side money. It's a decision that isn't popular, is it, with the fans?
No. It's a shame because that foundation achieved so much. And then obviously you can see when it stopped. You can see how it stopped. Literally just went brick wall, stop. Everything's gone. You know, we're scratching up, you know, a UEFA Cup. We're scratching the FA Cup. Back in the day, we weren't scratching it. We were there. Every year, we were there.
So, in light of it all then, because I've known you professionally, I didn't even know that you played Man United when we first met. But you're always the happiest guy in the room. You've always got a smile on your face. So, how did you turn that, or how did you make this a positive for yourself, and say your daughter? Is it something you can say, well, I've done that, not many people did?
Well, as you says, I didn't say anything. You know, I just keep it in myself. If it comes out, it comes out. And as usual, Burley's the one. Typical. But if it comes out, I even try to deny it. And he goes, not stop denying. I'm like, it's not a case of denying. I just thought, yeah, I know what's coming next. The million and one questions. But, you know, I say, okay. And I have a chat about it. And we have a laugh and joke about it. And as we spoke before, off camera, you know, the things that we've got up to and have a laugh and joke and understand the football thing. But you know what? I think it's down to my mum, you know, giving me that positiveness. And it looks on, things change, things happen. Just go out there with a good heart and a good mindset. What will be, and you know, things will fall right for you at some point. Just get on with your life, you know. So I'll give nothing but love and credit for her for that. But yeah, you just got to have that kind of get up and go to say, look, that's gone now. Don't dwell on it because that will start, and try and move something that will favour you, and just keep smiling, keep upbeat, and just get on with life.
You just touched upon it now, but I think you've just gone into the final question, is that you're a proud family man. We spoke a lot about your children and your wife and stuff, and what advice from what you've learnt would you give to the kids that are maybe going into a big club now and are a bit kind of maybe overwhelmed, or is there any advice that you give them to be like,
right, well,
I think you've probably,
yeah, being overwhelmed is expected, you know, doesn't matter where you are, what club, you're going to be overwhelmed. Be grateful, be happy, keep remembering about how you got there, how you play, and always get that support. Keep that support. Don't go wandering off here, don't go wandering off there. Keep that support bubble with you all the time. And if someone's giving you criticism, it's not always bad, it's to help you and to protect you. So, you know, always be aware of all the pitfalls, but listen, just listen and do your thing and things will be right.
Perfect. Love it.
On that note, yeah. Thank you. Ever so much for your time today, Len.
You're welcome, Chris, Kev. It's a pleasure being there. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Let's do it again. Thank you, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Chris, thank you. Class.